Summer at the Highland Coral Beach by Kylie Dunbar and read by Susie Riddell for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. January and the Big Fat Positive. Two pink lines. Beatrice was sure of it. She took the test apart and held the little strip up to the light to make sure, and there they were. Faint, barely there, but there all the same. What they call in the pregnancy and baby magazines a BFP, a big, fat, positive. At first, when she saw it, she had screamed, then had a cup of tea to calm down, and immediately started to worry whether you're allowed tea when you're officially, incontrovertibly, with child. The warmth of the knowledge spread through her, and she found herself in front of the living room mirror, peering at her face and wondering what the magazines were talking about when they said the first things you noticed in pregnancy were the sore boobs and the morning sickness. Beatrice felt great, better than great, and she looked to see if she was glowing yet, wondering when it would kick in. She hadn't exactly glowed recently, and not at all during the recent few miserable months of doing not very much, other than eking out her redundancy pay, searching for work, and trying to chase away the feeling she was probably being a bother to her sister. Angela was in her own baby bubble, enjoying the last few weeks of her precious maternity leave with little Clara, and was, Beatrice worried, possibly too polite to tell her that the daily visits might be getting too much. She wanted to let Angela and her partner, Victoria, Vic for short, know the good news first, but told herself she had best wait until Rich knew. He was, after all, the daddy. She smiled to herself, wandering around the house that afternoon. Unable to settle to reading her book or to concentrate on job applications, she started clearing out a bottom drawer to pass the time, and let her mind wander back to all those years ago when she and Rich were straight out of college and intent on double incomes and exotic travel and had spent years trying not to get pregnant. Then there had been that period after the wedding when they were constantly dodging everyone's questions about when they were going to start a family, and she'd grown used to hearing the remarks about how she wasn't getting any younger, mainly from Rich's dad, to be fair. And Beatrice couldn't forget last year, the one leading up to her 39th birthday, the awful year in which she had lost not only her job, but her lovely mum as well. A year she couldn't think about without her chest tightening and her breathing growing shallow and quick. When certain work colleagues, friends and Rich's dad had unanimously stopped inquiring about her plans for her uterus, as though it were everyone in the world's business, and started looking at her either sympathetically or like she was some sort of baby-avoiding witch. You guessed it, that last one was also Rich's dad. "Well, aren't we going to surprise them all?" Beatrice said to herself as she cleared the drawer of clutter, making a charity shop pile and a recycling pile, trying not to glance at the clock and count down the minutes until Rich got home. Only just back to work after the new year, poor old Rich had another late meeting and another stressful, cramped commute on the 8 o'clock train back from London, where he worked in distribution rights for big screen movies, which sounded more glamorous than it actually was, to their two-bed new build in the sprawling Warwick suburbs. She couldn't account for the little prickle of nerves that buzzed up her spine at the thought of telling him tonight. He'd be made up. How lucky can one couple get? A baby on their third month of trying. That is, if you don't count that week in Madrid back in September, when Beatrice forgot to pack her pills and they got a bit reckless after a night of Rebujito cocktails and a touristy flamenco show that had ended in a drunken conga line through the beach restaurant's kitchens. They'd had to have the whole conversation on the plane home about how maybe it wouldn't be a disaster if they actually had made a holiday baby, and since they were both approaching 40, might be a case of now or never. There had been no holiday cocktails baby after all, but its brief, hypothetical existence had kick-started an intense few months of really, actually trying, which, although she didn't admit it to anyone, was accompanied by a big sigh of relief at the end of what could only be described as an embarrassingly long dry spell. In the quieter, lonelier moments during her days at home scouring the Guardian Arts jobs pages,